Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time. Open our hearts and our ears to receive from your Spirit this morning. And we just pray again, Lord, help us to be ready. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep's an interesting word. I can ask you to keep something for me for safety. There's things that are called keepsakes. Keep time. Watch it. Keep's an interesting word. Well, this morning we're going to look at the word keep in some ways. We're going to see how important it is to us as believers to keep. But we're in Revelation chapter 22, and for my friend that has to keep track of these things, the title of this message is For Keeps. So if you're writing notes, starting off chapter 22, the book of Revelation. You there? Starting at verse 6. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Who's speaking? Let's just cheat here. Drop down to verse 16 real quick. Jesus. Jesus speaking, saying, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Faithful, trustworthy, true. This is interesting. I'm going to give you this full definition. That which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. In every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name, real, true, genuine. Okay, that's the def. But get this. The opposite is to what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended. Point is, gang, this is real. It's not an allegory. It's true. It's trustworthy. So we see that these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. Now this word, again, a lot of times people get, well, why isn't this happening? Well, again, let's take a look at this. That word shortly is actually, there's a preposition there, in. So in short, in quickness. The key then, again, is takes place. So it's going to happen quickly when it begins. It's like, I don't know if you remember this, but they used to have a big thing of they would show these guys setting up dominoes, okay? And it'd take them hours, sometimes days. But then the time would arrive and they would put the cameras on it and they would push it and they would show it fall and all these different elaborate things going over bridges, maybe spelling out the show's name or whatever, starting a little ball to roll, all these different elaborate things. And then that last domino falls and it's usually something like balloons flying up in the air. And that's the end. What took hours, maybe even days to set up, took minutes and it was done. That's the point here. When it happens, when it begins, it's going to happen rapidly. And again, we've talked about this. In the way we see it, we see the rapture is the very next thing that's going to happen. Church taken out of the way. And then when that happens, all these things happen quickly. It's not going to be long and drawn out. I mean, think about it. 7 years isn't long. And then it ends again with Christ coming back, his second coming. We've been going over this. So again, don't get hung up with this. Well, again, people will say, well, where is the coming of your Messiah? Well, Peter prophesied about that. That's what they say in the end times. So it just goes along with what's happening here. Now, again, look at verse 7 now. Behold, I am coming quickly. Quickly. Jesus said earlier in Matthew, he says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And later on he goes, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And we'll talk about that quickly too later on as we go into this. But the first thing I want you to take attention to is keep watch. Be ready. We'll look at that even further as we go along. But keep watch. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a great, again, scripture if you want to read over. We'll skip it this time right now. But again, the whole point is watch and be ready. For what? The signs of the times that we're seeing around us now. I don't know if you've heard about this, but there was another shooting this morning, or actually late last night. Right now they're estimating 50 people are dead. And these are signs. Other things that we looked at is Israel becoming a nation. All the world is against Israel. And then we see specifically Russia and Arab neighbors against Israel. Israel's prosperity. The Temple Mount. These are things that we see. These are signs. A one-world government and the push for a one-world government. The economic woes, wars, racism, terrorism, just like we just mentioned. A push for one-world leader. These are the things that, again, they fuel this thought. When an act of terrorism happens again, the world says, we need somebody to watch over all of us. Again, a one-world religion. The New Age movement. Moment to join. Right now, there's a movement to join all religions. Tolerance and peace and love for mankind. Islam is a good indicator, too. Why? Because, again, it's bringing this to the forefront. That we all need to come together as one. We're all people. Another thing that we looked at is immorality. There's no sanctity of life. Again, we just talked about the act we just talked about just a second ago. There's no boundaries of sex. We're talking about transsexuals now. Drugs. It's you go to Colorado. Taking that doesn't belong to you. People stealing from others. And then it's all about me, baby. Lovers of themselves. Covetousness. Boasters. Proud. Rebellion against authority, unthankful, without natural affection. What is natural affection? Well, that's basically a mother to her daughter, a child. It's natural. And what do we hear now? Or even a child to their parent or a sibling to a sibling. And what do we keep hearing in the news? Siblings killing siblings. A child killing their parent. A parent killing their children. Again, these are indicators that we're towards the end times. So there's also the entitlement and blasphemy that goes on. Notice also there's disturbance in nature. We're talking about global warming. We talked about earthquakes, volcanoes, storms of hurricanes, tornadoes. Also death, mass deaths of animals. I mean, polar bears are, you know, they're saying that they're going to be extinct or, you know, we don't know. But that's what they're saying. We're talking about also sea creatures of you know, they're like a bunch of whales have beached themselves. Just weird things keep happening. And these two should bring attention to, we're towards the end of time. The other thing to take note of is knowledge increasing. Technology. And with the technology that is growing and becoming more elaborate, it says there's no God. And it proves itself by saying, look how well we're doing. Without God. I mean, whether it's evolution or whatever. But we see these things. And again, I just want to briefly bring these up because these are the things that we see. It says, keep watch. What are we watching? We're watching for these signs as they keep continuing to progress. What does that say? Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. He's coming back. Keep watch. Now, look at verse 8. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. John did this already in Revelation 19. He's excited. You know, he just saw things that no man can even imagine what he saw. And probably just the natural emotion was he just falls down. These angelical beings must be marvelous. They must be wonderful to look at. And they're not, I mean, we always see pictures that people draw of angels, and they're kind of wimpy. That's not true. That's not the biblical account. Powerful beings. So again, let's not get too hung up with John when he falls down the second time, but look at verse 9. Then he said to me, the angel, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. You pick that up? Keep this word. We're to keep the word. Or actually, if you look at verse 7, it says, he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. That word keep, again, it means to be attended to carefully. In Revelation, Jesus already said this. He said in verse 3 of chapter 1, blessed is he who reads those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So it's about reading, it's about listening, hearing, and it's about keeping. Attentively. See, this is an exciting time for us as believers. As we see these things happening around us, we should understand that it's been prophetically told. It's said that at least a third of the Bible is prophecy. And you think we should be prophecy buffs? To a degree, yes. But the problem is, to be honest with you, it gets a little wacky out there. And that's why you got to be careful. You have to, because there is sensationalism. And what it is taking a newspaper and taking the Bible, which is okay, but then they read into much of it. That's where you get in trouble. And it just progresses. This is kind of human nature. There's some people, I don't know if you know this or not, but they actually believe that there's aliens and there's, if you will, and I know this sounds really silly, but it truly is, people that call themselves Christians that believe this stuff, that there's actually, if you will, reptile or lizard people among us. I'm sorry, gang, that's wacky. We don't need to go elaborate like that. Hey, there's enough stuff going on around us that should keep us attentive as it is. But again, something to take note of is when we hear of these acts of terrorism, and you know, somebody just told me recently, I'm afraid to step out my door. I can't even trust the police. Well, again, all this points to the end. It's human nature. As knowledge has progressed, as freedom has progressed, as all these prosperity has progressed, what it's done is we've talked about this, it just reveals again the evil heart of man, his intent continually. The good news is we'll talk about this again, Jesus Christ. So again, this stuff is what should keep our hearts and minds on these things, and that is keep his word, keep watching, but you notice also we just saw in verse 9, keep worshiping. Keep worshiping God and him alone. He's the only one that's truly worthy. I mentioned Revelation 19 about John falling down before. He said, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It all points to him. All these prophetic utterances points to Jesus Christ. Everything. Oh, for the need of one world government. Yeah, there's one king. Immorality. Yep, there's only one moral. Only one sinless man. He's God. Who died for us. It all points to him. Everything. And that should also lift up our hearts. To keep watch. To keep the word of the prophecies. But his word. Verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What does this remind us of? Remember Daniel? What was he told? He was told, Daniel, go your way, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Also said to Daniel, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Daniel, you guys aren't going to get this thing yet. You're not. And it won't happen until knowledge goes to and fro, until knowledge progresses. Now, does it mean that we have more knowledge biblically? Speaking? No, it's everything that's happening around us. That's what started to happen is guys started looking at this book and seeing the world as it was and saying, wait a minute, there's some things that are happening here and some things that need to happen. It's interesting. And then they started seeing the things that, especially Israel being the big indicator, happening. They said back in the 1800s, even before this, but when this movement started moving again, I say that again, because there's those that, you know, held to a belief system that what we call, people call us pre-tribbers, premillennialists, whatever you want to call us. But the point is, they say, well, this is new. No, it's not new. The first church continually believed that Christ was coming back. He was coming back to redeem them. constantly. It was on the forefront of their minds. It wasn't until we talked about this as we were going through the churches, when the church joined the government, then they said, hey, maybe this is different. Maybe this is all allegory. Maybe the truth of the matter is that the church ushers in the kingdom. Now, as those that were reading the word found out, says, hey, this ain't working, gang. There's wars and continual wars. And they started looking out. And then they realized that, again, our hope is in Christ Jesus, not in the church. Not in the church. So we see this again. We see keep who worshiping God and Him alone. Him being the one that we come together for. He's the reason why we read the Word. He's the reason why we teach the Word. He's the reason that we live our lives and only for Him and for His glory. Nothing else. So we're to keep worshiping. Now, again, if you notice that Daniel saying keep, you know, it wasn't ready, now it is. So again, we have this indicator for all of us. What is it? This is the time that now knowledge is going to and fro. This is the time that we can understand these things. So again, what does this tell us? Keep watch. Again, keep watch. Look at verse 11. He was unjust, let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. He was righteous, let him be righteous still. He was holy, let him be holy still. My yearbook, it's funny because I just happened to pull one out and glanced at it a week ago, and I was looking at the quotes, and I was trying to see who was a Christian, who wasn't, because, you know, my high school days, a long time ago, and I didn't know who were Christians, who weren't, to be honest with you, and they just, I won't go into all the details of that. But one of my friends had this scripture under his quote, his senior picture. And how that became fruition is, it was funny because 10 years later, I went to the reunion and it was a prophecy that was true at that time. What was it? The guys that were doing the drugs, well, they were still doing the drugs. The guys that were getting drunk, well, they were still getting drunk. Now, does that mean what the scripture is saying, that what God is telling us is that those who are going to be filthy, they're going to be filthy still, that's it. They're done. Those who are holy, they're going to be holy, and that's it. Done. No, if you will, this is a warning. If you continue this way, then darkness overcomes you. There is no hope. There is no other answer but Jesus Christ. That's the only way to turn from it. It's the only, we cannot say that we are righteous of ourselves. Well, the only reason why we're righteous is because He's clothed us in His righteousness. And we are holy only because our Father in heaven is holy. That's the only way. In John, Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to light, lest the deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to light, that he is redeemed, or his deeds may be clearly seen, that he have been done, they have been done in God. Excuse me. Point is this. There's going to come a point in time that in death, it's done. The world is going to get darker and darker and darker. Does that surprise you? It's going to get darker. So really the call here is for us, that we've been clothed in righteousness and holiness, is Christ's light shining through us. It's the only hope, gang. Again, not to overemphasize it, it's not church. It's not changing things in the church. It's not trying to get people into the church. Because it's been proven time and time again that the only thing that changes men's lives, get ready for this, this is big. This is write this down. Okay? This is really big, and I want you to really listen to this. The only thing that changes men's hearts and lives is Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict man, points them to Christ, and that's the only answer for all of us. And for us that have been redeemed, that's the only thing we've got to share. It's Jesus Christ. So we see this, that James helps us out. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. To be righteous and to be holy, to be a light, is for a truth to happen in our lives. And the reality is, it's getting darker out there. So what can we do to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? That's a question we should all ask ourselves. Now thank God that we have the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for that, none of us would make it. None of us have a chance. But because of this, and knowing that Christ died for us, clothed us in His righteousness, taking our sin upon Him, making us holy, then you know what that does? It should make us dance. We're free. Because of what He's done. And because of that, now His life living through us, that we should be the people that understand that the world is going to get darker. That doesn't mean we hide from it, but it definitely means we need to take stock in what we do, what we listen to, what we watch. And here's the big part now. What the mind imagines. There is just so many things that can tantalize our minds and our hearts and pull us away from God. To live, to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Be in the world, but not of the world, as the saying goes. Verse 12, behold, I'm coming quickly again. Or as it says in 1 Corinthians, basically in a twinkling of an eye, things are going to change. When that twinkling of the eye happens, and you know how fast a twinkling of an eye is, it's quick. Faster than AJ just looked down. Sorry, AJ. I was looking at you, AJ. It just happened, man. Is that quick, though? Elijah just took a drink, set it down. Just quicker than that. Quicker than the snap of my fingers. Emma's not looking up because she knows I'll use her as an example. That quick. We could be all gone before the end of the sermon. Some of you are saying, please, be now. That quick, okay? In a moment, in a twinkling eye, it could all be different, all changed. Again, we go back to the importance of keep watch. But also we see something else that he says, his reward, look, my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Work. What were you made for? What were you saved for? Might be a surprise to you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Is to work, to light, to shine. Or Paul says in Philippians, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, that should strike some fear in our hearts, but should it override it? No. Why? Because, again, gang, when you feel that twinge of conviction, then look up. It's not about you. It's about Him. And that's what motivates us, and that's what pushes us again into His loving arms. Him. And of ourselves, we can do nothing. But again, it's the work that He has done in us. Now, it's that work that is done through us. And that's why we can understand why Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you're teaching Sunday school, it's not in vain. If you're helping out people in the name of Christ, it's not in vain. You're raising your children up to the Lord, it's not in vain. Whatever you're doing unto the Lord, it's not in vain. Because see, that's the thing. Work is work. If you notice that, meaning this. You do the dishes, guess what happens? Isn't it amazing how dishes again pile up? You just did the dishes. Why? Where are the dishes coming from? Do they just appear? Do they walk over and say, hey, you forgot me, and go into the sink? It's the same thing with laundry. Everything gets washed and folded, put away, and guess what? You got to do it again. Some of you I know probably put your underwear inside out to use it another day. That's kind of weird and odd, but again, to cut back on the laundry. point is work is work. It's not fun, is it? One of my friends, one of the times, the older guy, he was talking about some things they had to do, and the younger guy goes, that just sounds like a lot of, that doesn't sound like fun, it's just work. And he looked at him and he goes, well, it's not supposed to be fun. That's why they call it work. Now, I know that that kind of goes beyond the imagination of people now, because everybody thinks, and it's nothing wrong with this, don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, is to find something you enjoy doing and get paid for it. Yes, blessed are you if you can do that. But for the majority of us, that's not the way it works. We find ourselves working. Why? Because we gotta eat. We gotta provide. If we have a family, we gotta feed mouths. I wish I can get paid by doing this. Can you imagine? I'm a professional thumb twirler. Look at that. Imagine. Oh, I'm going backwards. Did you see that? That's extra. I mean, it would be great, but it doesn't work that way, does it? It's work. But here's the good news. Everything we do unto the Lord takes note of. Everything the Lord does through us, we get rewarded for. Doesn't that sound like a great deal? What does it take from us? Remember, keep ourselves inspired. Remember, one of the signs is narcissism. It's all about me, baby. I'm not feeling this. I'm not happy. I'm not happy at work. Do something, boss. I'm not happy here. Now, please, do not misunderstand. I'm not saying there's time for everything. There's a time to speak up and a time not to. But for the most part, this is what we're becoming as a civilization. It's about me, baby. Not happy. I just heard that somebody gets paid, get this, to be a counsel for millennialists, this generation. The guy gets $200,000 an hour. No, $20,000 an hour. I'm sorry. I misquoted. $20,000 an hour. Do you know how to get millennialists to work? Give them things. What? They asked him, what would you like to change here? Would we like a free lunch? Well, we'd all like a free lunch. You with me? It's just getting weird. These are signs. But for us, what is it? It's to keep working. Even when we don't think it's doing anything or any good, God is working through us. Anything that we do unto the Lord, even if it's doing dishes. And you're saying, what? Yeah, because it's an attitude. It's pushing that negative heart out and saying, God, I will do all things unto you. And right now, it's serving my children. It's serving my family. And that's actually be a house mother. That can be going out and work, whether you're a husband or a wife. It's doing these things and doing whatever it is unto the Lord. That's also what keeps us on guard, too. What? Not to overdo things. It's okay if the house gets dirty once in a while, ladies. It's okay, right? I heard an amen. Amen! It's okay. Hallelujah. And especially now, if both the parents are working. It's hard. Make sure you make time for the Lord, and the family. That's the other thing I find that is a tragedy, is that we make time for family and the Lord second. No, 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 folks. Lord first. Family second. Remember that. Never change that order. Okay, let's move along. So we keep ourselves, we keep working. What do we? We keep the word. We keep watch. We keep worshiping. We keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We keep working. Look at verse 13. And again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that he may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. What is it to keep his commandments? Is his commandments burdensome? No. What is it? In a nutshell, it's to love one another, isn't it? To love. Like Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Jude says something beautifully. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life. God's love. And his commandments. Love. How could that really be joined together? Very simply. I'm a father. You say, well, that's questionable. But I am. I'm a dad. And when my kids, we've always lived on busy streets, and it's just what has happened. It's not like we've chosen. Let's go live on a busy street. It's great fun. All right. All the cars going by. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Let's throw things at them as they drive by. But it wasn't like that. Never was. Just seems like that's what the Lord led us to. I didn't bring my kids out and go, okay, today we're going to learn Frogger and reality. Now, the object of the game is to go across the street without getting hit. Of course, if you get hit, you lose. If you die, oh, well, one less mouth to feed. But hey, let's do it. This is going to be fun. Okay, well, that's asinine, isn't it? I had commands. My command was there is no playing out in the front yard without your mom and dad. No deal. Now, one house that we moved into, it didn't have the gate. And this one, I'm not going to mention the girl's name, one little girl, when she was about 2 or 3 years old, she walked out the backyard, and then she walked into the front yard, and then she walked, thankfully, just to the neighbor's house. My wife and I were going through the whole house. The boys were looking for our daughter. We were pulling up sheets. We were looking in closets. We were looking under beds. We were looking everywhere for her. We go out in the backyard, start calling her name. She's not there. We go to the front yard, and then all of a sudden we see our neighbor hand in hand with our little daughter coming over. She came over there. She broke one of my commandments. So what do you think I did? Beat the tar out of the little snot. No, I didn't do that. You know what I did? I made sure I put a gate up. You with me? That's my love. My commandment is not to play out there. For what? Because it's danger out there. Now, if you, in a very much in a nutshell, take that, everything that God has commanded is for our benefit and His love. It's to keep His word. It's to keep His commandments. And, as it's been summed up, to take His commandments into its greatest form is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as yourself. If we do these things, as Jesus said, all the commandments hang, or all the law. So we see, keep His commandments. Look at verse 15. Oh, let's finish off with that. This first. Blessed are those who keep His commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. Now, but outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexual immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Outside forever. Those that do not come to Christ will be outside the city gates? Is that what it's saying? Can you imagine that? Outside the city? It's not what it really means. Means outer darkness. Means on the edge of heaven. Where again there's nothing but gnashing of teeth, and weeping, darkness, and it's hot. Now if you notice, there's no dogs in heaven. See that? No dogs in heaven. I'm kidding. I don't know. I'm sure if Rover's there. God loves us, so those are the creatures that God has blessed us with. So it was just a little stupid joke. Excuse me. But if you notice in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to finish with these two scriptures, really. If you listen, it's chapter 2. You know, I'm going to skip that one. Just Philippians chapter 3. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Now listen, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? What is it that we're supposed to keep really our minds on? Our citizenship, which is where? It's heaven. Keep heaven in mind. That's your home. This isn't your home. Ever look at your house and you see, man, I need a new home. Well, the cracks, the foundation, cracks in the walls, or maybe it's just it's not big enough anymore, or whatever reason. And say, we need a new home. Gang, look around you. The world's cracking. It's been cracking from the beginning, since Eve sinned. There's destruction, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's immorality. But we're just passing through. See, our citizenship is in heaven. Keep your mind on these things, it says in Colossians. What? Heaven. That's your home. It's been said, you can be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, there's been cases when people, again, if you just listen to this, you'll see the wrongness of this, is that what they do is they charge their credit cards really high, go in debt, thinking, hey, it's going to end anyway. Start abusing the rewards that God was going to give them with the gifts and talents they have. But again, that's abuse. But the reality is, if we are so heavenly minded, then we understand that we are going to keep watch. We're going to keep His word. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep ourselves unspotted. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep His commandments. We're going to keep heaven in mind because that's where we're going. And that's our home. So as the enemy comes and tells you what a wicked, bad person you are, which he will. As he comes and tells you that you're not fit for heaven, which he will. As he tells you what you're doing is just a waste of time because no one's listening. No one's listening that you're witnessing to them or serving them. No one appreciates you. Just remember something. Those are all lies. Isn't this a beautiful thing? I don't go into your house and go, wow, look at that. Beth, you're keeping that house nice and neat. Look at, she's organized. That's good. Getting points here. I'm walking around with a notepad. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's great. I don't do that. Some of you are very thankful I don't do that. My wife, probably number one, is very thankful I don't do that. I might find myself living outside. But the point is I don't see. But that's good. Because there's one who does see. And this is the good part. He keeps track of the good, not the bad. Isn't that beautiful? The good, not the bad. So as we're living our lives, He sees the good that God is doing in and through us. As we're yielding our lives to Him. As for the things of the flesh, those things will be burned away. They won't be a part of heaven. That's an interesting thought I'll leave you with. Everything done in the flesh doesn't make it past the gates. Everything that God does through us, that's welcomed and rewarded. So keep that in mind as your last thing. Keep your mind on Christ. Keep your mind on heaven. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Just thank you for the truths that we've heard. And Lord, each one of us can confess that we've failed at this many a times. And Lord, there's just so many worries and struggles that we have in this life. And a lot of times that pushes us away from the things that are most important. We just pray, Father, that you would just open our hearts and minds to these things. That truly we would keep ourselves in the love of Christ Jesus. That we'd realize that our citizenship is not on this earth, but it's with you. That everything that's done in your spirit and through your spirit, Lord, again, goes to heaven with us. Of us yielding ourselves to us. Of us to really of denying ourselves and walking with you in spirit and in truth and in love. Father, help us to be a people that are keeping watch. And help us to be a people that are keeping your word and your commandments. And help us give us understanding and what are those things that keep us from this in the world that we should be unspotted from. So we just pray, Lord, as we've gone over these things, that you just work these things in all of our hearts and in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.